One of my favorite movies with Henry Fonda would have to be Spencer's Mountain. Not only does that film have so many beautiful views of the Grand Tetons, but you also get to get a peek at the society of the last century, the society of the early 20th century, a society that was governed by tradition and by family and by church and by religious expectation. In that film, you have Henry Fonda, who is sort of the town handyman. He's always going around doing things for people, fixing stuff. He's just a good old guy. He doesn't go to church, and he likes his whiskey. And he's a favorite of a lot of people, but they all wish he'd go to church. Of course, his wife and his 9 kids go to church. He's out fishing one day on a Saturday. Out fishing, having a good time, enjoying himself, when along comes Wally Cox. Wally Cox plays, as we find out a little bit later, the town minister, the brand new pastor of the church. Only Henry Fonda doesn't know who he is, and so he invites him to come out and fish with him, and they're out fishing, and Wally catches this nice bass, and they're excited. They put it into the basket, and Wally starts slapping the mosquitoes as they bite him, and so Henry Fonda pulls out a flask of booze and says, here's some mosquito repellent, and Wally drinks it and takes a huge gulp of it, and his eyeballs almost pop out of his head. Anyway, they fade to maybe an hour later, and Wally's sitting there, drunk, totally wasted. And he says, I've never had anything to drink before, because I'm your new pastor. And Henry Fonda falls over into the water. He's laughing so hard, and so does Wally. And then the next scene is the little old ladies of the church, all the blue-haired biddies, the busybodies, they're there putting up a new sign to welcome their new pastor to the parsonage. When around the corner comes Henry Fonda and Wally Cox, their new pastor, both of them drunk. Oh, scandal. The next morning, everybody gets up to go to church. Prim and proper, the women in their gloves and their hats and the men in their suits. Stuff you almost never see anymore. And they all go past Wally's church. Everybody going to the other church in town. And as one couple passes Wally's church, the lady looks inside and says, serves him right, man of God. And while he's standing in an empty sanctuary, makes an apology. When Henry Fonda finds out, he decides to call in all of the debts that the people in town owe him for all of the odd jobs that he's done, for everybody in town. Turns out it is absolutely everybody in town, including the pastor of the other church in town. And he says, you're either going to pay me tomorrow what you owe me, or you're going to go to church tonight. And that evening, Wally's sanctuary was crammed, filled with people. Now, Henry Fonda's laying out in a hammock, enjoying the sound of them singing, Shall We Gather at the River? But all the self-righteous people are having to go to church. It's an amazing image. And indeed an indictment. It's an indictment of the church, my friends. We wonder why people say they don't want to have anything to do with organized religion. We wonder why people say they don't want to have anything to do with church. We wonder why people say we don't want to have anything to do with the church and with the structures of church and with the organizations of church or church people or pastors. We wonder why people say this when they have such terrible examples like that. Our brothers and sisters, we have today in our scripture reading The story of the Pharisee who stands up and says, I thank my God I'm not like a thief or a rogue or even like this IRS agent over here, this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I tithe. Ah, look at me, God. Look at what you've done with me. Look how wonderful I am. Just take a look at how beautiful I am. Take a look at how wonderful I am. Take a look at all the good things I've done. Look at me. That's what the church does. That's what the church does, my friends. And we wonder why people, the youth of today, the people who are starving for a taste of the grace of God, who are starving for a touch of the spiritual, who are starving for the presence of Jesus in their lives, we wonder why people are walking away from the church when so many pastors are doing exactly that, standing up and bragging. And it's more than just lay people and more than just pastors. I see it all the time. I see it in my brother and sister clergy. I see it at annual conference clergy retreats. I see it at district meetings. I see it at annual conference sessions. I see it at multi-denominational get-togethers where pastors from many different churches come together to chat, to talk, and to have lunch, and to brag about their churches and how many they have in worship and how much money they make, how much budget they have. Makes me want to puke. It really makes me want to puke that I'm involved in it, that I'm participating in it. Because you see, we are indeed the Pharisee. The church, universal. The church Protestant, the church Methodist, the church North Texas Conference, and yes, my brothers and sisters, sometimes even the church St. Stephen can be the Pharisee saying, look at me, look at what we've done, look at how good we are, how open we are, how liberal we are, how progressive we are, how accepting we are. Sometimes that can become a point of pride. And when it does, we fall into the trap of the Pharisee. We slip and fall straight into that judgmentalism that we look at and rightly say we don't want to have any part of. And yet we do it too. We say, I thank my God I'm not like that Pharisee. Yeah, right. What did the IRS agent say? What did the tax collector say? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, first of all, sometimes we get a little bit uncomfortable with that word sinner, don't we? I mean, we've had too many folk. Here, I got one right down here somewhere. Is this my floppy one? It is. It's my floppy one. We've had too many people take Bibles and flop them at us and say, you're a sinner! Haven't we? I mean, you know, let's be honest. We're reacting to that. When in reality, the word here, hamartia, simply means to fall short. It's an archery word. Used to describe taking the bow and arrow, pulling back and letting go, and your arrow, it doesn't miss to the right or the left. It falls short. It doesn't even make it to the target. The essence of sin is not the things you do bad or the things you shouldn't do. It's simply failing to live up to the expectations that God has for us. Sin is simply failing to hit the mark, to fail to live up to the expectations that God has for us. And God has some pretty powerful expectations. He expects us to live the life of Christ. He expects us to live as the representatives of Christ in this world. He expects us to express the love and acceptance of God for all. And the church stumbles and misses the mark. And we wonder why so many people are walking away from organized religion. My sisters and brothers, the tax collector, the IRS agent, stood up and beat his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a short fallen one. Be merciful." The word mercy here, merciful, comes from the Greek word helisterion. And that word means, you look it up in translations and you look it up in the dictionary, and helisterion is translated propitiation. And that just wanted to make me tear out what little hair I had left. Propitiation? What the heck does that mean? So I turned to Webster's dictionary and looked up propitiation, and it said see propitiate. A lot of help that does. I look up propitiate, and it says, see propitiation. Gets even worse, doesn't it? So I look down at the Latin roots for the word. The Latin root, simply means to make favorable. In other words, God, give me your favor, for I am short fallen. Give me your favor, your mercy, your love, your grace, your presence, your acceptance, because I have failed to hit the mark. I have fallen short of your expectations for me. I have not lived up to what you have called me to do and be. Be merciful, propitiate, grant favor to me. It's a simple, humble call. It's the one we should be crying out as the church. Yes, even in those moments when the pride grips us and we say, we're not like those other churches that exclude folk. This week was a great week. The week before was a wonderful week too. My sermon 2 weeks ago has struck home many places. I received word within a few hours of my sermon going live on the internet that there was a group in Poland that wanted to translate it into Polish. Had to prepare a transcript of it so they could work from that. Then a group in Germany wanted to translate it into German. Then I got word that they wanted help translating it into Russian. Then Spanish, and then Leo, Tagalog. In other words, the message I preached 2 weeks ago has made it around the world, and there are people who are trying to help translate it into other languages. And guess what happened? The first thing that happened inside of me was pride. Wow, God, look at what you've done. Look at what I've done. Look how great this is. Look how wonderful this is. Woohoo! No. What is sad is that the message needed to hit home. And that, thank God it did. Thank God it did. But it's sad that it needed to be proclaimed at all. I received an email on Thursday. I had received lots of emails about the message. Emails, physical mail and phone calls, instant messages. This was an email, however, when I opened it, it simply said in one sentence, "Because of what you preached, welcoming gays into the church, you're going to hell." My first desire was to shoot off a response that was just as nasty. Because you're excluding folk, you're going to hell. But as normally happens, things occurred around the office. I got distracted. And after a couple of hours, I came back to that email. And today's message had been bouncing around in my head as I was preparing it this week and was on the tips of my fingers as I found myself typing into the email field. May God be merciful to us. We are two sinners. My friends, we are called as the church to proclaim the welcoming love and presence of God to all. We are called to open those doors to absolutely everybody. We are called to be here, a voice proclaiming the welcome, love, and acceptance of Jesus Christ our Lord, the gospel, the good news to all. That's what we're called to do. What we're not called to do is to then play the role of the Pharisee almost in reverse and stand up there and say, I thank my God I'm not like those others who proclaim the opposite, the ungospel of exclusion. Instead, we're called to recognize that we all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short of the calling that Christ has for us. We all fall short, and we are all, every single one of us, absolutely every single person, is in need of the love and acceptance, the mercy, the favor of Christ. We need the forgiveness and love of God, so that we can then share it with all. My sisters and brothers, it may be tempting to stand up there and say and become the Pharisee and say, I thank my God I'm not like those judgmental jerks. But no, we're called to be like the IRS agent. God, be merciful, be favorable to me, to us, for we have fallen short of your calling for us. As you come to the table of the Lord today, as you eat and drink and receive the means of grace offered here, as you partake of the presence of Jesus, I invite you to open yourself to the forgiveness and the presence of God. To open yourself to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And allow Christ to transform us all. From Pharisees to people quite a lot like these tax collectors. Recognizing that we need God's grace. Come and feast. Share the grace. And give thanks and praise to God.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.